killers, murderers, decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. I am Danny.
And I am Glory.
Yes, and right now Glory is irritating me. I don't know why. He comes with his nonsense all the time. You must understand what I live with.
What?
I don't know.
Okay.
It brings color, but sometimes... No, I'm just kidding. Don't listen to me. I'm talking absolute nonsense. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's probably the cold. For those who are not in South Africa, I hope you're enjoying the warmth weather, because it ain't it here in Joburg. I'm just saying. Although I don't like winter in general. But you also don't like winter.
Nope.
I think you don't like understand. Winter more than me.
I don't understand people that like winter. I don't like cold weather at all. And I don't like the wind.
Oh, I don't like the wind. It knots my hair and then I have to sit there brushing it out.
Is that all you worry about?
Yes, it's a struggle. You don't have the hair to worry about, so it's
really
what's the wind gonna do to your hair?
Wow.
If the wind blows, does your hair even move?
Yes.
No. Where's it moving to?
What do you mean? It's not moving to a place, it's just moving. Are you saying that my hair can't move in wind?
Yes. I want to see this. I'm gonna take him outside later and see if his hair blows. It's very short. Where's it going?
Who says it's going anyway?
Yeah, but it needs to like go like this in the wind.
Then of course, my hair is not like that.
Exactly. So it doesn't.
But that doesn't mean it's not moving.
Where's it moving?
Carry on.
Well, today we are dealing with a female serial killer. We thought we'd switch it up a little bit. You know, got to keep you on your toes. And her name is Aileen Wuornos. Actually, I'll get Glory to try pronounce this. Take your best
just
shot.
I'll say Aileen Wuornos.
Wuornos.
Yeah.
Whoa. But where did the O go? Because it's W-U-O-R-N-O-S.
W-U-O, right? The U and the O automatically merge. Wuornos.
Who says... What English teacher?
What English do you know?
Not a lot. No, I'm joking. I'm born and raised English, but my English grammar is very shocking. Are you sure you're not mixing that rule up with French?
I didn't study French. I learned French.
Yeah, but you speak it. So maybe you're confusing your brains. Okay, moving right along before I irritate you more, because I can just see
the look on his face. I'm not irritated. I'm just shocked. You know when you're like in pure disbelief?
Why?
Because of what you just said.
Guys, I'll spell my name wrong if I'm not careful. It's just a thing. I'm just letting you know. So, she was a serial killer who was found guilty of murdering 6 men between 1989 and 1990. So you see, she had a better average than the guy last week. Who was 11 people in 11 years. She was 6 people in 1 year. That's why I was saying the other guy last week had a bad average. That's what I meant.
I understood that.
Yeah. But you were fighting me for some reason.
No, what I was just saying is that it sounded like you're promoting.
No, I was just saying like, okay, never mind. Anyway, Aileen was born as Aileen Carol Pittman on February 29th, 1956, in Rochester, Michigan. Her parents were Diane Wuornos and Leo Pittman, and they divorced before her birth. After Diane, who was a teen mother, abandoned Aileen and her older brother Keith, Diane's parents legally adopted the 2 young children. Aileen never knew her biological father, who was eventually imprisoned for child rape and died by suicide in custody. So she's got a little bit of a criminal past in her parentage. Aileen grew up in nearby Troy, Michigan, with her adoptive parents, Keith, and 2 older adopted brothers, her biological aunt and uncle. A fire scarred her face when she was a young girl, and she developed an explosive temper and found it difficult to make friends. Around age 10, Aileen learned that her parents were actually her grandparents. I knew someone like this. We had a girl in my grade. She recently got engaged, actually.
Nice.
I don't know who, she never knew who her father was, but her mom left her to go live in London, and she was left with her grandparents. So she lived with her grandparents, although she did know her mom, and that she did know she was adopted.
Yeah.
This knowledge, however, for Aileen added more tension to an unhappy household. Her grandfather, Larry, was a harsh disciplinarian who once had Aileen watch him drown a kitten.
What?
Poor kitten. What did the kitten do? That's disgusting. I'm sorry. People who torture animals, people who participate in dog fights and all of that, scum of the earth. I'm just saying. That and women who know that the person they're dating is married. Scum of the earth.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, Aileen later stated that she was physically and sexually abused by her grandfather and had sexual relations with her brother during her childhood, which is...
Oh, disgusting. That's nasty.
That's so disgusting. As an 11-year-old, Aileen was offering sexual favors to boys she knew if they gave her cigarettes or if they paid her, resulting in the nickname Cigarette Pig. Aileen ran away from home on multiple occasions and eventually ended up in a juvenile detention center. At 14, the grandfather sent a pregnant Aileen to a Detroit home for unwed mothers. 14!
Imagine.
At 14, I was still playing with Barbies.
14?
Yes. Maybe not Barbies, but I was still a kid. She told her family the pregnancy was a result of a rape, but later offered different explanations, and she gave birth to the boy on March 1971, and the infant son was then given up for adoption. In Florida, she met a wealthy yachtsman named Louis Gratz Fell, and he, at the time, Aileen was 20, and Lewis was 5 decades older. So he'd be 70. So he's 70, she's 20. That's like dating your grandfather.
Ew.
Yuck. They got married in 1976. The union, however, was short-lived as Lewis left Aileen within a month, stating she was a violent and an ungovernable temper and had beaten him with his cane.
What?
I don't know why I'm laughing. This 20-year-old is beating this old grandfather with... Okay, that's just messed up. Aileen asserted he had been the one to attack her, and they officially divorced on July 19th, 1976. Aileen was arrested during the mid-70s for assault, disturbing the peace, and disorderly conduct. So her criminal rap sheet is hella long.
Yeah.
In the early 1980s, she served time for armed robbery after drunkenly attempting to rob a convenience store while wearing a bikini.
Quite the distraction. Okay.
What? That's not what I was going to say. Okay.
No, I'm saying it's not a good thing, but that's one way to distract the shop owner.
So you're going to be distracted.
Do I own a shop?
If some chicky chick walked in you in a bikini, are you going to be distracted?
No.
Huh?
No.
No?
Yes, because I'm thinking some hobo coming into my shop.
But you just said it's a good distraction.
I don't know why you're asking me that. It's different circumstances.
I need to know from a guy's point of view.
It's different circumstances. Now that I'm engaged, definitely not.
Good answer. Yeah. Good answer. Fiance must be very happy with that answer.
Can't believe sabotage live on the show.
What do you mean I'm sabotaging you?
That's sabotage.
I'm not sabotaging you. I'm just intrigued to know how the male mind works. Okay, I have a question though, right? So obviously when you walk into rob a shop, you normally like come in. Like, where was she hiding the gun? If she's in a bikini. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Depending on what the shop.
Or did she like, just run
maybe,
in?
Maybe she had it, like, on the side of her bikini. On one side.
Yeah, but then the shop owner would have immediately seen it.
If it's, like, some guns are, like, guns are not all that big. Like, you can have a small pistol.
And a bikini is bigger than a gun.
No, of course not. But what I'm saying is if you have it, like, you know, in between your thigh or your leg and your bikini, right? And you're walking in facing one side and the guy's looking at you on the other side, he won't necessarily see it immediately. Because...
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
But that's just my theory.
Although, bikinis are also not that stable to, like, put something in there. I'm just saying. But anyway... Aileen's record of criminality also included forged checks, resisting arrest, theft, and drunk driving. Some crimes were attributed to fake names, which she had a habit of using. In June 1986, Aileen, now calling herself Lee, met 24-year-old Tyra Moore at a gay bar in Daytona, I think that's how you said, Florida. The two started an intense 4.5-year relationship and began living together. While Moore held jobs as a housekeeper or a maid, Aileen engaged in prostitution along Florida Highway. Aileen was very possessive and didn't like it when her partner went to work or interacted with others. They frequently moved to various motels, apartments, and mobile home communities in Dayton and elsewhere in Florida. It was during their involvement that Aileen's criminal activity took a murderous turn. So, from late 1989 into the fall of 1919, Aileen fatally shot 7 middle-aged and older men near highways in North and Central Florida. Her first victim was Richard Mallory, a 51-year-old repair shop owner who was known to frequently hire prostitutes. He was last seen on November 30th, 1989. According to Moore's testimony, the next day, Aileen told Moore that she had killed a man. And on December 13th, 1989, that's the day Taylor Swift was born. I'm not even lying.
So she was born on the day of crime.
she was born on the day the body was found. Sorry, Taylor. I didn't know if you know that, but there's an interesting fact for you. Okay. What would you do if your significant other came home and told you they'd killed someone?
I asked them, where did you hide the body?
Is that all you'd ask?
Yes. It's the first thing I'd ask. Not all I'd ask.
What's the second thing you'd ask?
I don't know. I'd first look at her and be like, huh? What do you mean?
My question would be, are you dumb enough to get caught?
No, you won't.
Yes, I would.
No.
Yes, I would.
No, because you'd be freaking out.
And how do you know?
Because I'm a magic man.
Speak such nonsense. Anyway, 5 more dead men were discovered over subsequent months. The body of a construction worker, David Spears, who was 43, was found on June 1st, 1990. Part-time rodeo worker, Charles Coscadon, 40, went missing on May 31, 1990, and he was found on June 6th. On August 4th, 1990, 5 days after he was reported missing, salesman Troy Burris, 50, was found dead, and Charles Humphreys, 56, a child abusive investigator, was found on September 12, 1990, and Walter Antonio, a trucker and reserve police officer who was in his 60s, was discovered on November 1990. Now, my thing is, these people are all, like, relatively, like, okay, except the 60-year-old, like, 40 and 43, that's quite middle age, right? You're quite strong when you're, like, 43. How's this woman overpowering and killing you? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, even if I had to come at you, I know I wouldn't be able to take you. And you're in your 20s. And I wouldn't be able to come and tackle you to the ground.
Look, some women are built different.
I know, I would... You see, that's why women use poison.
Wow.
No, that's the truth.
I know.
Because how's a woman supposed to take on a full-grown man? How is this woman taking on 43-year-olds?
But you see, poison is also an extreme. Why don't you, like, rather give him something that will make him drowsy? Or, I don't know, something. Like, poison?
Yeah, why not poison? It does all the work for you. You just put it in his tea.
And you see... You wonder why I question why women only had how many prisons?
Nine
out of
243.
Oh, I was just checking.
What do you mean you're just checking?
No, I was just checking.
I also know of a way you could kill someone if you inject them in a certain part of their veins with air.
You see?
I learned that on TV. I don't know if it's true, though.
More evidence. Ah! There should be more women jails.
No, women are just more controlled.
Oh.
Except this woman.
Yeah.
Throughout this time, Aileen often returned home with new possessions to pawn and cars that she had, in quotation marks, borrowed. She used a variety of aliases when she pawned items belonging to her victims, which made tracking her more difficult. But in July 1919, authorities examined the vehicle of Peter Seams, a 65-year-old missionary. The poor missionary who had gone missing the previous month. Witnesses described seeing Aileen and Moore leave the car, and a print was found on the door handle that matched to Aileen's. In fall of 1990, reports that the authorities were looking for two women suspected of murder prompted Moore to flee Florida and leave Aileen. On January 9th, 1991, Aileen was arrested at the Last Resort Bar in Port Orange, Florida, on an outstanding charge. Soon afterward, police tracked down Moore in Pennsylvania, and she made a deal to gather evidence against Aileen in order to avoid prosecution. So basically, sell her out. In mid-January, Aileen admitted to the murder in a phone call with Moore, saying she'd committed her crimes because she was desperately in love and wanted them to stay together. How does killing people ensure you stay together?
They die with no one.
Like, I don't even understand the logic. Is it because she thought she was, like, bringing home, like, items to keep them, like, the household going? I don't know. After her phone confession to Moore and against the advice of counsel, police videotaped Aileen as she confessed to 7 murders. The public was fascinated by the case, due in part to the lurid nature of the crimes and enormous media descriptions of Aileen as the country's first female serial killer. She was dubbed the damsel of death. Among the people who reached out to Aileen was an evangelical Christian couple who went on to legally adopt her. I don't care what or how good of a Samaritan I must be. I'm not adopting some serial killer. Aileen was first prosecuted for Mallory's murder. During the January 1992 trial, Aileen asserted she had been raped and assaulted by Mallory, details that didn't match her video confession. Although not revealed in court, Mallory had previously served time for attempting sexual assault. However, no other prostitutes came forward to recount a previous violent encounter with him. A jury found Aileen guilty of first-degree murder and robbery on January 27th, 1992. The judge gave Aileen the death penalty on January 31st. 2 months later, Aileen opted to plead to non-contest to the murders of Spears, Burress, and Humphreys. She then submitted separate guilty pleas for the murders of Cascadon and Antonio. She received the death penalty for each plea. So there's no way she's getting out of this.
Yeah.
Seems' body has not been recovered and Aileen wasn't charged with his murder. Aileen initially maintained she had killed her victims in self-defense, though she later retracted these statements and police believed she had killed men who either picked her up or had stopped to help her on the highway. After a decade on death row, Aileen decided to fire her lawyers who were working for a stay of execution. Although a court-appointed attorney argued that comments made by Aileen suggested she was profoundly disconnected from reality, the Florida Supreme Court ruled that she was able to fire her attorneys. Florida Governor Jeb Bush lifted a temporary stay of execution after three psychiatrists deemed Aileen mentally content to understand the death penalty and the reasons behind it. Aileen was executed by lethal injection on October 9, 2002 in Strake, California. Strake, Florida. Not California. I don't know why I say California. In Strake, Florida. She was 46 years old. Her reported last words, and listen to this, it's really, really weird. I just like to say, I'm sailing with the Rock. As in Dwayne Johnson. And I'll be back. Like Independence Day with Jesus, June 6th. Like the movie, Big Mothership and all, I'll be back.
Wow.
Talk about messed up in the head. Although I won't lie. Like, first of all, you can clearly see how her childhood trauma would have had an impact on her life. I mean, from being abandoned by her mother to having her father abandon her to having her grandfather rape her. To having, being pregnant at 14. I mean, her childhood was messed. I mean, that doesn't give her excuse for what she did. But she was clearly, clearly traumatized and clearly, clearly...
Cooked in the head.
Cooked in the head. Which is unfortunate because as a child, she should have been protected. She should have had her innocence and that was all stripped away from her. I mean, watching a kitten get killed, I mean, I cannot even imagine how messed up that would make me. I don't even like movies where the dog dies, so I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
But yeah, ultimately, you can see where this came from. Like, it had been a long time coming. Which is really sad, if you think about it.
Yeah.
She deserved better. And it's unfortunate because how many kids go through the same circumstance that we don't even know about?
Yeah.
But that is the damsel of death, Aileen Wuornos, or however you pronounce her surname.
Wuornos.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
No. This show has been awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting such a... You know, normally with serial killers, you mostly focus on her crimes, but I feel like there was so much more to her than just her crimes. Like I said, and it's she had such an unfortunate childhood, which had obviously contributed to the way she turned out. I hope her grandfather also ended up in prison. I'm not gonna lie. But that is all. Yes, I think that's all. Anything else? Well, we hope you enjoyed the show. Otherwise, we will see you next week. Bye bye.
Active FM radio has never been better.